Good morning, Drift Run Church. Good morning to everyone visiting this morning. I hope and pray that you come out here this morning expecting God to work, because you know what? I truly believe we serve a powerful God, and I believe we serve a God that can and will work. I really do believe that this morning. You know, the topic that I have this morning is about the power of the cross. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And you know what? If it wasn't for Good Friday, we wouldn't be celebrating Easter here this morning. Because you know what? The cross come before Easter morning. And I want to talk about the power of that cross this morning. If you would, turn to Luke, the 23rd chapter. I'm going to read one verse, and it's the 33rd verse. Luke 23:33. And when you get there, please stand in honor of God's word whenever you get there, please. Thank you. Luke 23:33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving on my heart, Lord. Again, I praise you for your mercy. I thank you for what's taken place here this morning, Lord. And I hope and pray, Father, that it has pleased you this morning as well. Lord, I ask you, Father, that, Lord, you know, that you'd go with us, Lord, go with the church here this morning. Open up the hearts of those that are here. I pray, Father, that you would open them up, Lord. Let the word, let your word pour upon it, Lord. Let your spirit move in them, Lord, this morning. I pray, Father, this morning as well, that you would get me out of the way, Lord, and we will give you the praise for that, and we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. You may be seated, and thank you. Thank you. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there, so just bear with me this morning. I got a lot of scriptures I want to go over, but praise God, we will do it this morning. This morning, as we do every time that we come into this church, and I said this Wednesday night, and I want this to be understood. It should be the purpose of this church, and one purpose only. That is to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. That's what it should be. The Bible says, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's who we need to worship and praise this morning. When we ask you, whenever you leave here this morning, if I was to ask you, I hope you're not talking about the preacher this morning, the singing or the church or the teaching, because if it is, we've done it wrong as a church if we do that. I'm here to tell you, when you leave here this morning, we should be talking about the one that needs to be talked about this morning. Jesus said it best, Greg. He said this, and if I be lifted up from the earth, he said, I will draw all men unto me. That is what we want to lift up here this morning. Let's give him a praise here this morning, because he is the one that so rightly deserves to be praised this morning. Praise God this morning. I praise you. Praise him this morning. I want to preach this on this Easter morning. It is about the power of the cross. If it was not for Good Friday, we would not be celebrating Easter here in this Easter morning, 2019. It wouldn't be happening. It was the most significant event that ever happened in mankind. We say that a lot around here. We should say it more than what we do, because it was the most significant event that ever happened to mankind. And I say that without one bit of hesitation this morning. What Jesus did, I'm going to be quite honest with you, I find so hard sometimes to get across what Jesus did for us on that cross. Sometimes it's hard to come up with words sometimes to explain what Jesus did and the magnitude of what he did on the cross. The cross was so significant, it bridged the gap between the law and grace. And believe you me, it had to be something that bridged that law, because there's not a one of us that are perfect enough to live the law. It took something so much different. It took the grace of Jesus Christ. John 1:7 said this, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? It came by Jesus Christ. That's why it was important that there had to be that bridge. And right there was that bridge right there. That's one of the reasons why the cross is so powerful. The law gave way to grace. That's what had to happen. What grace tells us is this. Even though you don't measure up, There's not a one of us in here that can measure up. Even though you don't, God said, I still choose you. I still choose to forgive you because of the finished work that Jesus done on the cross and because of His grace. I choose to forgive you. Praise God this morning. Isn't that awesome? We should be shouting the house down this morning because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. The cross turned the world upside down. It did it. The cross turned it upside down. No other event has been more controversial in the world. Just go out there and talk about Jesus, and Jesus is the way, and see what kind of reaction you get. You can talk about God all you want to. Just don't mention the Son of God, Jesus, with the died on the cross. That's where you get the reaction from. No other event has touched more lives than the event of the cross. You are sitting here this morning. I venture to say you're sitting here this morning because of what the cross has done, what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. I venture to say that's why you're here this morning. What happened some 2,000 years ago on that Good Friday, on that first Good Friday, is still affecting the world today. It's still affecting the world today. When I figured they mocked him. They mocked him over in Luke 23. It tells us how that they mocked him. Listen, it says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the mockings continue even to this day. If you don't think I'm right, you just look around and listen hard today. Because you're not listening. They are mocking him today. If he be the Christ, why hasn't he come back? If he be the Christ, why hasn't he done this? If he be the Christ, listen and listen around and watch what's going on. They are mocking him the same way today. In Philippians 3:18, it says this. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. There's many enemies of the cross out there. They were back then, and they are still today. Believe that. Understand that they are. But there is a warning in Galatians 6:7 for anyone that thinks that. Do not be deceived. It tells us God is not mocked. For whatsoever one sows, that will he also reap. Don't think for one minute that those that mock and criticize the cross and mock and criticize our Lord and Savior will ever get by with it. You may be looking around saying, Lord, where are you at? Why aren't you taking care of it? It will be taken care of one day. Believe that. If you have went, listen, I was listening to a preacher the other day. If you'd have went to the Soviet Union whenever the communism became into effect, do you know what they did? They went into the graveyards. They went into the graveyards and took off all the crosses off the tombs. They chiseled off anything that had any recognition of Christianity off them tombs. Why did they do that? Because they did not want them to have any hope in anything except the government, in anything except what the government had to offer them. I'm here to tell you, you take Jesus out of it, there is no hope. You take the cross away, there is no hope. I'm here to tell you this morning, the only hope for mankind is what the finished work that Jesus did on the cross one day. That is the only hope that we have. They took all the symbolism off of it. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, the hope is what gives us, the hope is the light over darkness. Amen? Amen? The hope is that. The hope of Jesus' work is that hope that the light. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it tells us this. And this is the point. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Preach the cross. You want the power of God to come down. Preach the cross. Preach the finished work of Jesus Christ. That to us is what it's about here this morning. That's what Easter means to us this morning, is the death, the death on the cross that Jesus spilt for His precious blood for the sins of the world. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, it's foolishness. Oh yeah, There's a bunch of them out there. You know, that's a bunch of nonsense right there to them. But praise God, I am glad. The back one day, back many years ago, that I come to know that it wasn't foolishness. I come to learn that, you know what, that the power of God's Holy Spirit, when it comes into your life, I understood what it meant, the power of the cross. I understood it then. Praise God this morning. To those who do not know the power of salvation, the cross is foolish. It really is. If you're studying here, well, I don't know your hearts. Sometimes we say around here on Sunday nights when we're preaching to the choir, you know, I don't know your heart here this morning. But I mean, if you're here this morning and do not know Jesus as your Savior, you may think that this is foolishness. But to us that have been saved, we know that there's no foolishness to it. Amen? But to be born again, the cross is the power of God. We sing, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And it goes on to say, the emblem of suffering and shame. To me, to you and me, the cross is a sign of hope. This cross is a sign of eternal life. That's what the cross is a sign to us. As part of that last verse says this, and I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Isn't that what it's about? The love that he had for the world. The love that he had for the vilest of sinners. Jesus Christ went to the cross. Went to the cross for you and I and for everybody else out here in the world. The cross was not just any cross. It was the cross. You know, I read something the other day where a cross is the most produced piece of jewelry in the world. I can believe that. My wife got me a ring for Christmas. It's got a cross on it. And we've had other, and she's got a cross. And most of you being here may have had cross necklaces. I don't know. But I want to tell you something this morning. You know that? That cross necklace doesn't save you. This cross ring don't save me. You know what? I don't know what other kind of crosses there are out there. They don't save you. It was the cross. Amen. The cross on the first Good Friday, that cross is the one that can save to the uttermost. That cross will do it. A piece of jewelry is not going to do it. It took the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it took. Listen to me. I love that old cross. Praise God, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the work that he did on Calvary, that can save you. That can do it. I've often wondered, Tim preached it this morning, and I've wondered this, 95% of the people that are wearing these crosses, I wonder if they truly understand what the cross means. I wonder that, and I'm not being judgmental, I just wonder if it's just a piece of jewelry to them. I wonder about that. What does the cross mean? What it symbolizes? The crucifixion, by the way, wasn't on a hill far away. I know that's what it says, but it wasn't on a hill far away. They hung Jesus up there with those two thieves on either side of him where people could walk by and see. They wanted everybody around that area to see. Why? Because they were thinking that if they hung them up there, that they would see that nobody else would ever want to do what they did. That's what the crucifixion, whenever they crucified him, that's what they wanted to point, to get across. They wanted everyone to see those being killed. They wanted it to happen. Here was the salvation of mankind hanging up there for the whole world to see. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He was hung up there with it. And that's why the scripture says in Matthew 27:39, and they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders and said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. And it goes on to say, he trusts in God, let God rescue him. What it said in verse 43, and if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And in the same way, the thieves that were crucified with him also insulted him at the same time, is what the scripture says. The cross was meant to humiliate. And that's exactly, but Jesus did it for us. Do we understand what he took upon himself? Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary and we faint in mind. What does it mean that he endured the cross? What's it mean? He knew everything that was going to happen to him. Did you know that? He knew it before he even went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that. He knew what was going to happen. He knew before he even come into town on Palm Sunday. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the same people that were on Palm Sunday that were saying Hosanna. That were saying Hosanna were going to be some of the same people that were going to say crucify him. He knew Peter would deny him. He knew Judas was going to be the one who was going to betray him. He knew everything. He knew that these people were going to do exactly what they were going to do. He knew that he was going to become sin. He was going to take our sin and he was going to become sin. As Tim preached this morning, he not only took our sins upon him, he became sin. And the Bible says, you know what? Whenever he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he knew all that. He knew it for his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness by whose stripes we are healed. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for us. Did you know that? He made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Tim asked this morning, I got to thinking about this. You know, my God, why have you forsaken him? Did God really look away? Well, Habakkuk 1:13, and I found this scripture, and God just showed it to me this morning. It says this, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. That's Habakkuk talking about God. His eyes are too pure to look upon evil. So whenever Jesus became sin for all of us, yes, God looked away. God looked away. He did. And Jesus was there by himself. And yet Jesus did not fail. Praise God this morning. That's why Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? To see Jesus vividly praying in the Garden of Eden and blood coming down off of him. And there's a term for it, terminology for what that was called. I don't know why. I can't remember what it is right at the moment. But he did sweat drops of blood. They said it could happen. You know what else it did? It made your skin become real sensitive. Really sensitive. They said whenever this happened. So you can imagine what he went through whenever he was being beat. He knew what they were going to do to him. He knew it. But yet, he went to the cross. Went to the cross on his own so you and I could have that. He had options. We know that, right? Remember whenever Peter cut off the ear of the guards that come into the garden, they get ready to stand up and fight. He told me, he said, you don't know what you do. He said, I could just now pray to my Father and he could send all these legions of angels. I think it was something like 100,000 angels or something like that. It's how many legions of angels he could send. I'm here to tell you, he had options. He didn't have to do what he did. But he knew for us, for me and you. And I like what Tim said this morning whenever he preached. He said, he took his precious blood and he gave it to God and offered it on the altar. Brothers and sisters, it has to be offered anymore. Amen? It doesn't have to be offered once a year anymore. Once and for all. For everybody. The cross, the blood that was taken, and what he did, he gave it to God and put it on the altar for our sins. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome this morning? That's why Hebrews 12:2 says, so special to every Christian, for everyone that does not know Jesus this morning as Savior. Listen. This is the power of the cross. That is the power. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, he endured it. Raise your hand here this morning. Everybody raise your hand in here this morning, please. He endured it for you. Whether you know it, whether you want to admit it, he endured it for you this morning. Praise God. He did it. Stay. He says, stand and show me and I'll believe. There's those that will say, show me and I'll believe. There's those today that will do that. Lord, if you would just show me, I'll believe. I believe our faith is more than that. Amen. But unto us which is saved, it is the power of God. That power is from God himself. That's where it came from. Praise the Lord this morning. His power, like a power that can take the worst person on planet Earth and make them a child of God. It can do that. The worst person. I don't know how bad you think you are this morning, but I can tell you this morning, that cross, the work on that cross can change your life, because my Bible tells me, behold, all things become new. Amen. And can I tell you this morning as well, as I think about this? You don't have to be vile in your own eyes or bad in your own eyes to be lost. You know that, don't you? You just have to be separated from Jesus Christ. You could be a good person. You could be the best person on this earth. You could do all manner of good works. But as we say around here, your works don't save you. I don't care who you are this Easter morning and what your situation. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. I don't care. The power of the finished work of Jesus Christ can save you if you really want to be saved this morning. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. After the cross, on that Easter morning, my Bible tells me that Jesus Christ rose out of the tomb. That's what happened. That's why we're here this morning to celebrate. That's why we gather on this Easter morning. Actually, that's why we gather every Sunday morning. Because that's the first day of the week, and that's the day that Jesus Christ arose from the tomb. That's why we do that. But today is extra special, because we celebrate the day that he actually arose from the tomb on Easter morning. Praise God. Peter's, how can that happen? Remember in Peter, whenever he preached in Acts, you know what the power can do to save people? It said that he had preached and there was 3,000 people saved at once. You think, well, you know, why ain't that happening today? You know why? Because you know what? I think the church is let down. Why? I'll just be quite honest with you. I'll be honest with you, because I believe if we would still hold up the power of the cross and still preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and still let the Holy Spirit work, I believe we could still see people saved like there was back then. I really do. Amen. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. We have nothing to boast about this morning. Not a thing do we have to boast about except Jesus Christ and the work that He has done in any of us. There's nothing. I have nothing to brag on. I'm here to tell you this morning, nothing whatsoever to brag on. Now, I wouldn't even try to begin to do that. The only thing that I can brag on is what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I can brag on that till the cows come home, as they say. I can believe, because what He's done in my life, you cannot, no one else could have ever done. Not one individual could have ever done what He done for me that day. I can stand here and sing His praises forever. Forever. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. You want peace? It says over in Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The cross, as bad as that was, the Bible says that the cross can still bring peace to your life. That right there wasn't a peaceful event that day. But I'm telling you, God, Jesus knew what He was doing so that you and I can have that peace one day. It says this in Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. What's it say? Nailing it to the cross. All those ordinances back here, all the law, it said, what got it out of the way, Jamie? It said it was nailed to the cross. Not just any cross. It was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. The cross is powerful. The cross is something that that the Passion of Christ, if you've ever seen it, it's horrible to watch. But I'm here to tell you, it's probably as close to the truth as anything that I've ever seen or ever read about. The passion of Christ, if you've ever walked. The cross has come for the resurrection. It says in Matthew 28:5-6. And the angels answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where he laid." Where he was at, not where he's at now. Praise the Lord this morning. You see, there is power. There's power in the cross. Power beyond all recognition because of what Jesus did. Praise God. Come get a song this morning.